Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, Identifying the Enemies, from our series, Weapons of Our Warfare. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Identifying the Enemies.
So Satan can get in those circumstances. Now, I'm not saying that Satan put something in your in your drain. I'm not saying he put something in your drain to cause it to back. That's not what I'm saying. But he can get in the circumstances. Because now, you know, you get down there and you look. What's the first thing that comes over you? A spirit of what? A spirit of heaviness. I don't know. Maybe you're different than me, but I don't know anybody that will go, praise God, man. Look at the backup, man. Look at all this sewage down. Oh, bless the Lord. No, the first thing that's going to come over you is a spirit of heaviness, right? So when we talk about the weapons of our warfare, one of the weapons that we're going to look at is praise. So instead of me allowing my circumstances to overtake me, you know, I go look at it, it hits me, and it might take me down for a minute, but then I get myself together. And the Bible says to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So after I go through my little pity party, and after I go through my disgust, somewhere, I got to get a praise in my heart, right? That's the weapon that I use. Because what does Satan want to do? Satan wants to, if I'm already dealing with depression, he wants to bring something in my circumstance. Oh, man. He wants to bring something in my circumstances that's going to take me down even more. And so how do I lift that spirit of heaviness off of me? By praising God. By just going in and beginning to praise him. Oh, I can't wait till we deal with that weapon. The weapons of our warfare. I told you, man, God got this thing. He got you. God got you. No matter what you go through, he got you. He's given you a weapon to be able to deal with every situation. But Satan will get in your circumstances and try to take you down. Another instrument, and I know we don't want to hear this, but is other people. Other people, other people, other people. In Job chapter 2, it was his wife. Job, look at Job, look at Job. I said I wasn't going to read this. I wasn't going to go here, but let me just go here real quick. Job chapter 1. Job lost his possessions, he lost his children, he lost his servants. And after he lost all that, in verse 20, notice Job, he had a weapon now, he used a weapon, verse 20, verse chapter 1. Then Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. That was his weapon that he used to fight against the attack by the enemy. And said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked I will return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And then we go to chapter 2. After all that Job went through, now he has boils on his body. He's got sickness in his body. And his wife says in chapter 2, verse 9, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. So here was All the things that happened to Job, I believe that it might have been, you know, this attack right here that was the greatest. You know, somebody that was supposed to be close to him, somebody that was supposed to encourage him and help him to walk through his situation. And basically what she was saying, that if you curse God, God is going to take you out. So while I was just cursing, I mean, you look, you done lost your family, you done lost your possessions, you done lost your servants, now you done lost your health. Why don't you just go ahead and curse God, get it over with, and let him kill you. And then you'll be done. So here we see sometimes people can be an instrument of Satan. Now notice what I said here in the notes, because this is very important. This is very important. Some of the people around us are good people, and some are evil. They can be our spouses, children, parents, friends, co-workers, neighbors, etc. It makes no difference if they are good or evil. Let me go back and say, it makes no difference if they are good or evil. The devil can work through them to get to us. This is not to say they have invited the devil to work through them, but he can get at us. He can get at us through the things they say and do. I was waiting for that. See, sometimes it's not that people are evil, right? It's not that, you know, people are, you know, this gremlin that's, you know, going around, you know, trying to take everybody down, just filled with anger and trying to jump on people. But sometimes Satan can work through the godliest of people. You know, I remember I was in this church, my first church, and, you know, I was a gung-ho Christian. I was on fire for the Lord, and we had service every time the doors opened. We were there, Sunday school, church service, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, we were there. And I remember I came in one Sunday night, and there was a lady who was playing the piano. And I walked in, and I thought that, you know, she didn't look like she had the joy of the Lord as she was playing. And so, you know, I walked in. I'm, you know, probably just been soul winning, right? We had Thursday night soul winning, going out witnessing, winning people to Christ, right? And after church, I went up to her and I said, you know, you need to smile when you play the piano. And as soon as those words came out of my mouth, the Lord just brought it back and it beat me like a club over the head. And I could just see her whole countenance just drop. Now, you know, I'm Brother Glaze, right? I'm Brother Glaze. Going to Sunday school, going out soul winning, here on Sunday night and Wednesday night. But Satan used me. I had the best of intentions, but Satan used me. He worked through me. Let me say that. And so sometimes it's not always bad people that Satan will use what they say and what they do to get at us. And so that's why we need to have these weapons of our warfare. Because as I implement these weapons, then I'm able to deal with whatever anybody says. You know, let me give Brother Glaze a chance for the Lord to beat him up, right? Let me give Brother Glaze a chance for the Lord to convict him. And then Brother Glaze is going to come back like what I did and said to her, you know, I never should have said that. I don't know what got into me. I don't know what made me say that. So what are the instruments of Satan? The world, our circumstances, and other people. So that's Satan. Now I'm going to move rather quickly through this next one. The next one, that battle that God gives us weapons to fight, is ourself. It's like somebody said, we have seen the enemy and we as they. Sometimes we are the enemy. Now, you know, I'm not trying to tear down anybody's self-esteem. I know that we are accepted and beloved. I know that we recognize who we are in Christ, and I understand all that. But there's a battle that we fight, and it's the battle within. And it goes back to what I said last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where it's in the mind. It's in the mind. If you don't deal with your mind, you lost from the beginning. If you lose in your mind, if you lost the battle in your mind, it's over. You lost. You lost. Now you got to go back to the drawing board and come back, but you lost. So let's look at two things. The first thing is that this battle within self is between the flesh and the spirit. There's a battle that's raging inside. Look at Galatians. Oh, I have it here in the notes. Paul said, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." There's a war raging within every believer. It is between the flesh, the old man, which craves sinful things, and the Holy Spirit, which draws us to the things of God. You know, I heard a poem. And I've quoted this poem many times here before. Two natures beat within my breast. One is foul, the other blessed. One I love and one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. There's a battle that's raging for your mind. As soon as, look, put up that next slide. Let me show you this. Let me show you this battle. Up that next slide. Look at this. Look at this. Tell me if this is not a battle. Tell me if it's not true. Half of you wants to pray, and the other half wants you to sleep in. It's a battle. Half of you knows that you should give to the work of the Lord, and the other half says, well, I got bills and I got things, other obligations. Half of us wants to forgive, because we know that's what the Bible says. But then the other half wants to take vengeance. Half of us wants to read the Bible, but the other half says we're too busy. Half of us wants to be kind, and the other half wants to be cruel. Half of us wants to argue, and the other half wants to keep quiet. There's a battle. There's a battle that's going on inside of you. I don't care how godly you are. And there's one thing that I've realized, that I'm going to battle all the way until they throw dirt in my face. It's not going to end. That battle is going to be there every day. It's not going to go away. We need to realize that. The flesh and the spirit war against each other. And you know, if you think it's going to get better as you go along, it's like I heard somebody say, there's no fool. Let me say it, y'all finished it for me. There's no fool like an old fool. Why? Because the old fool keeps making the same idiotic mistakes that he been or she been making all their life. And so the battle is always there. The battle is always raging. Go back to those slides again. Just let me read it one more time. I want this to resonate in our spirit, to see that there is a battle. Half of you knows that you need to pray, but half, the other half, wants to get more sleep. There's a battle that's going on. And God, again, has given us weapons of our warfare. Half of me wants to give, but the other half wants to keep. Half wants to forgive, and the other half wants to take vengeance. Half, if you go on to the next one, half wants to read the Bible. The other half says, you're too busy. Half wants to be kind. The other half wants to be cruel. Half wants to argue. The other half wants to keep quiet. There's a battle that's going on. In preparation for the sermon, I read the story about a Cherokee warrior who was teaching his grandson about life. And he told his grandson, "A fight is going on inside of me every day." He said, "It's a terrible fight. It's between two wolves. One is evil. He is angry, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The other wolf is good, joyful, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." And then he turned to his grandson and he said, "The same fight is going on inside of you, and it's inside of every other person as well." The grandson kind of was left staring and thinking. And about a minute later, the grandson said, "Which wolf will win the battle, grandfather?" And the warrior replied, "The one you feed. The one you feed. That is the one that's going to win the battle." That those two wolves inside of us, one is negative with all type of negative emotions and thoughts, and the other one is good, positive, and they cry out, "Which one is going to win? Two natures beat within my breast. One is foul and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate. The one I feed will dominate." You know, see, for some people, it's not even a war anymore. You know, it's not even a war anymore. Why? Because many people have decided to check in already. I heard about a man who said this: "Your mama and daddy said it's a shame. It's a downright disgrace. But as long as I got you by my side, I don't care what your people say. Your friends tell you it's no future in loving a married man. If I can't see you when I want to, I'll see you when I can. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right." See, for this joker, there was not even a battle anymore. Oh, somebody say amen this morning. Somebody say amen. There was not even a battle. There was not even a battle. He already succeeded to the flesh. He already gave in to the flesh. "If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right." Saints, don't give in. Continue to fight the battle. And then the last thing that I want to say, and I'm done, the last thing I want to say, and I want us to turn here, and I want to read this. Romans, turn to Romans chapter 7. We're talking about the two enemies, Satan and self. Those are the two main enemies. If you learn how to fight Satan and self, you'll be all right. Romans chapter 7, and verse 15. He says, "For that which I do, I understand not. For what I would do, do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. It is good." He said, if I'm doing what I'm not supposed to be doing, then I'm saying in my heart there's a law. And I think I'm all right. "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh." What did Paul say in Galatians? He said there's a war between the what? The flesh and the spirit. "Dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, I want to do the good thing. It's present in me to do the good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, are we talking about, look. Somebody remember, let me remember what verse I left off. Right? We talking about a man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. We talking about a man who was a missionary that founded, I don't know how many churches. We talking about a man who discipled people. We're talking about a man who was probably next to Jesus Christ, you know, one of the most well-known Christians of all times, you know, Paul, Peter, all right? We're talking about a great man, and look what he says. Where did I leave off at? 19. Okay, thank you. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For then, I find then a law that when, now all of us should say amen to this right here. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is always present. Every time I want to do good, evil is just waiting to mess up the good that I've done and corrupt it. He said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members. Oh, we got back that military term again, right? Going back to that military term. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, I mean, it's almost like he's throwing his hands up saying, man, there's a struggle. Saints, there's a struggle that's going on inside one of the most godliest men that has ever lived. There's a struggle going on. The law of righteousness and the law of sin. The law of righteousness, which is God's standard. The law of sin, which is in his own heart. And there's a battle going on. And you know, it could drive you crazy. It can drive you crazy. But let me give you a word of advice. Again, that something that I said earlier. Let me repeat myself. You have to come to the conclusion that you are going to battle, the flesh and the spirit are going to battle against each other all the way to the grave. All the way to the grave. The battle's not going to end. Ongoing. And we better learn how to deal with it. We better learn what weapons of our warfare God has given us so we can fight this battle effectively. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank God for Christ, because he helps us to implement these weapons of our warfare. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And what he's saying here is that we need to let the law of God rule and reign in our hearts. And if we let the law of God rule and reign in our hearts, we'll find ourselves giving in less and less to the law of sin. And so these are the two enemies. And so as we go through the rest of this series, we're going to talk about the weapons of our warfare. What has God given us to be able to successfully combat all these things that we talked about today?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Bible as a Weapon from our series, Weapons of Our Warfare. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Identifying the Enemies, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Identifying the Enemies. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Identifying the Enemies. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can request the entire series, Weapons of Our Warfare. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.